This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Milton. Most Republicans in the U.S. Senate voted on Tuesday against holding an impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump, signaling that he likely has enough votes to secure an acquittal. The U.S. House of Representatives voted January 13th to impeach the former president over the question of whether he incited insurrection in the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol building. The vote was 55 to 45 in favor of proceeding with a trial, but only five Republicans joined all 50 Democrats. A two-thirds vote of the Senate is required for conviction, meaning at least 17 Republicans would have to side with the Democrats in order to convict Mr. Trump of incitement to insurrection. The trial starts in earnest February 9th, giving the former president time to assemble his legal team. If Trump were to be convicted, a separate, simple majority vote could bar Trump from ever holding public office again. President Joe Biden told CNN on Monday he supports holding the trial, but he does not think enough Republicans will vote against Mr. Trump for a conviction. The top federal prosecutor investigating this January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol said Tuesday he expects indictments will be handed down as soon as this week as the FBI works to track down more than 400 suspects in the sprawling investigation. Acting U.S. Attorney General Michael Sherwin told reporters Tuesday that more than 135 people have been arrested in connection with the attack, which left five people dead and sent members of Congress rushing for their lives. To date, only a handful of indictments have been returned against the more than 100 people charged with a range of crimes, from minor trespassing offenses to more serious allegations such as assault on police officers and conspiracy charges. You can keep up with that story and all the stories we're following at our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. The World Health Organization Director General on Tuesday continued to press his case against what he calls vaccine nationalism, saying poor countries have had to watch and wait while wealthy nations forge ahead with vaccination programs. In his closing remarks to the 10-day WHO Executive Board meeting in Geneva, Agency Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said, quote, "With every day that passes, the divide grows larger between the world's haves and have-nots." He said the world faces a catastrophic moral failure if it does not work for vaccine equity, and he said vaccine nationalism could cost the global economy up to $9.2 trillion. Also Tuesday, Johns Hopkins University, which tracks coronavirus statistics, reported that the total number of COVID-19 cases worldwide has now exceeded 100 million. Police and protesters in the Netherlands clashed for a third consecutive night Monday after the government imposed a curfew to slow the spread of COVID-19. At least 150 people were arrested across the country Monday as protests turned to rioting. In some areas, demonstrators set fires, throwing rocks and looting stores. In the city of Rotterdam, police responded with tear gas. Rotterdam officials say 10 police officers were injured. Similar scenes played out in Amsterdam and also in smaller municipalities as well, including Haarlem, Geleen, and Den Bosch. Mali's army says 100 jihadists were killed this month in a joint French and Malian offensive in the central zone of the troubled West African country. In a notice on its website, the Malian army said 20 jihadists were captured. Several motorbikes and other war equipment were seized during the operation. Mali has been struggling with the jihadist insurgency that broke out in the north of the country in 2012 before spreading to the center and then to Burkina Faso and to Niger, often inflaming ethnic rivalries. France, Mali's former colonial ruler, first intervened in the country in 2013 to help drive back jihadist forces advancing on Bamako. And Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte handed in his resignation to the Italian president on Tuesday, hoping he would be given an opportunity to put together a new coalition and rebuild his parliamentary majority. Conte lost his absolute majority in the upper house Senate last week when a junior partner, the Italia Viva Party, headed by former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, quit over the government's handling of the coronavirus crisis and economic recession. President Sergio Mattarella has given Conte some time by delaying his formal consultations with the main parties until Thursday and Friday. Via remote, I'm Marissa Milton. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News.